Well, I'm so glad you're here. Just looking at your faces is going, wow, this is going to be an awesome group. My name's Larry Dillenbeck, and I'm kind of you're going to be your server for the weekend here as far as the content goes. And I'm very happy to be here. I'm excited to embark into the land of NLP with you all. How many of you, I would imagine some of you have experience with NLP. How many had training, like practitioner level training or a workshop of some kind? Okay, couple. How about a book or two? Anybody read a book or two or three? Maybe? Okay, awesome. Well, my journey with NLP started. I actually started in hypnotherapy in about 1989. If I were to go back a little further, when I was 15 years old, I took Evelyn Wood Reading Dynamics. Have you heard of Evelyn Wood Reading Dynamics, a speed reading course, everything? And it was absolutely, I just loved it. It was such a fun thing. And I got up to where I could read about 16,000 words a minute, if you can imagine. That's about as fast as you can turn the pages. And my comprehension went from 55% to 85%. Now, that's what I graduated at, and then my speed slowed down to about 10,000 words a minute. So. But your average paperback book would take about 10 or 15 minutes to read is all. And it was kind of fun in high school. We had Fridays were free reading days. And so, you know, we would just read in English class. And I would read three books in that class time. And then it got distracting, the teacher said, because everybody was watching me do my little hand thing down the page. So, but the neat thing was the instructor was a hypnotist. And told us a lot about, you know, hypnosis and the phenomena of trance and what you could and couldn't do with trance. And I just got so intrigued. And so first thing I did is I went to the library and checked out all the books I could on hypnosis and hypnotherapy, and I read them very quickly. And so that really got me intrigued and interested. And then I found a training program, got trained and certified as a clinical hypnotherapist about 1989, I think, at that point. And then I got introduced to NLP, and so started my journey back in the early 90s with NLP. And I absolutely love it. I think it's one of the most profound things I've ever learned, most profound and useful. And so I'm hoping to convince you of that this weekend, that it is truly a very transformational set of tools, skills, techniques. So what the heck is NLP anyway? It's, some would describe it, there are many definitions out there, some would describe it as the art and science of human excellence through the study of subjective experience. So, nifty sounding, right? So, the art and science of human excellence through the study of subjective experience. So, with NLP, what we're interested in, what we're looking at, is if anybody does anything well, we want to go in and figure out how they did it. How do they do it? And then lift that out, lift those patterns out of what makes what they do effective, lift out those patterns and then be able to teach it to other people so that they can produce similar results. So this all started in the early 70s with Richard Bandler and John Grinder at the University of Santa Cruz here in California. And what they were doing at the time is they were modeling exceptional therapists, people who could facilitate change in other people very, very quickly. So some of these names you might recognize. So initially it was Fritz Perls, who founded Gestalt Therapy. And then there was Virginia Satir, whose work was in family therapy. And then Milton Erickson, who was a medical hypnotherapist, and is probably, I think he's widely recognized as one of the most effective hypnotists that has ever been. So there's a whole model, or a whole form of hypnotherapy, Ericksonian hypnotherapy. So these were some of the early models that Bandler and Grinder went in, and they were looking at what it is that they did effectively. So the early processes and patterns of NLP were therapeutically based. How could you facilitate therapeutic change in people? But since then, NLP modelers, developers, has gone into just about every arena of human endeavor that you can imagine. So into all the business applications of NLP, sales and marketing, there's a huge arena around health. How can you improve your health or shift into more healthy patterns in your life? There's a whole domain of work in spirituality and NLP. How do you, for example, create a mindset of abundance and wealth and success in the financial world. So there's lots of different domains of where NLP has gone in and made models of people who are very effective. So what you're going to get in this training is the, how do you do that? How do you do that? How can you not only do some self-modeling in terms of your own personal success, find out what it is that you do well and expand on it, make more of it, make it available in the places where it'd be really good to have it, but also modeling other people. So if you know somebody who does something really well, you have the tools to go in and figure out how they do that. Then you can take it on. It's Robert Diltz, one of the developers of NLP, he would say sometimes that if I'm within 10 feet of a resource, I want some of it. And so I think that's really neat. The thing I think for me personally that has been the most wonderful thing about NLP is that it helps you be at choice. It really helps you be at choice with your thoughts, with your feelings, with your behaviors, and the results you produce in the world. And that to me was a magical transformation. To literally not feel like a leaf blown around in the wind of circumstance and change and other people's behavior, kind of a thing that, hey, I have a say in this. I get to choose. It's kind of almost like a superpower. So another way of thinking, another way of defining NLP is to think of the term neuro-linguistic programming. So neuro is the mind, the brain, the nervous system. Linguistic is, of course, language, but the other ways that we represent our experience to ourselves and other people, which is the pictures we make in our head, the internal dialogue, sounds we hear, feelings that we have, and we're going to get all into this in great detail. And then there's programming, which you could think of as it's like the sequence of mental events that you go through to produce an outcome. So just like a computer program is written in code that you go from step to step to step to produce some kind of an outcome. And some people kind of, that term programming, they bristle a little bit because it sounds like, you know, you're trying to control people or manipulate people or something like that. But it's actually, so the term patterning is probably a better term, neuro-linguistic patterning. But the Richard Bandler was a mathematician and computer science major at the time. And so some of the metaphors in NLP have computer metaphors to help. So you could think of it as like software for your brain. And that's kind of neat, especially if you get the upgrades, right? So Bandler once called NLP, it's an attitude and a methodology that leaves behind a trail of techniques. So the attitude of NLP that we like to have is an attitude of discovery and curiosity. Now, it could be said that all of NLP wraps around the question, how? Like, how do you know that, and how do you do that? So that, you know, again, if you get really curious about people, like, how do they produce that in their head? If somebody's depressed, how do they create that experience inside their own world, their own subjective experience? Or anxiety, or something positive. How do they create a state of confidence in themselves? State of resourcefulness. So we're going to explore lots and lots of different ways of doing that. And so there are certain, one of the things that I like to share with people too about NLP is that it's universally applicable across contexts. So if you're interacting with other human beings and using language, communication, NLP can really enhance what you're doing, enhance your effectiveness as a communicator, can enhance your relationships both personally and professionally, so that in the work world, for example, you can be more effective at getting the job done, at getting tasks done, but also at having high-quality professional relationships. So there's a really nice balance with that.